Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Wake up, America. It's Thursday, December 15th. Good morning and welcome back to the final hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins and producer Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast across America on this Thursday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Thursdays, we always remember the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday by our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, during this Advent season, in this year of the Eucharistic revival, let's try to visit the Blessed Sacrament today if you can. Quick reminder, if you go to the Relevant Radio app or the relevantradio.com website, you're going to find hours and hours of beautiful carols and hymns, real Christmas music, secular and traditional, to get you ready for Christmas. Look for the Christmas in Song banner, which is available now on the Relevant Radio app and also at relevantradio.com. So here we go. We're getting ready for Christmas. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here this hour?
Well, as we talk about all the time, busy time of year, of course, trying to get work done and Christmas things going as well, and the weather slowing things down. That big system, that slow-moving system across the country, still going today. This starts up north of Winnipeg, Canada. There's snow falling there, eastern North Dakota, all through Minnesota, northern Michigan, and then kind of turns into freezing rain, making its way all the way down to the nation's capital. And then south of there, down to the Gulf, we've got just thunderstorms once again. Three deaths with tornadoes in the New Orleans area yesterday, and more rough weather for the eastern part of the U.S. today. On the northern end, snow 8, 10, 12 inches possible in parts of Minnesota. Freezing rain through the nation's capital and pushing up the East Coast, and a lot of rain for the South as well today, John.
Well, a lot of folks will be shoveling snow today, so let's pray that everybody stays safe, and especially pray for those folks down in Louisiana that were hit so hard by those tornadoes.
Yeah, again, this time of year, as we mentioned yesterday, kind of an odd time of year to have that, but this system has really been slow-moving and doing a lot of damage in a wide variety of spots. And as far as the snow shoveling, you know, take your time. You know, we don't need that heart attack. This is really heavy, wet snow, too. So, you know, lean on that shovel, talk to your neighbor for a while, and then you do a few more scoops. And, you know, I always say, you know, pace yourself when you're doing the snow.
Yeah, definitely. Glenn, I could just imagine you going out there saying, okay, time to shovel. And you get out there and you get about like one shovel in and be like, oh, hey, John, how you doing over there? And stopping to chat with that guy and a couple other shovels. And, Charlie, I've been meaning to talk to you about anything other than shoveling. And I can imagine it might take a few hours to get that done.
That's
but you
why
know what?
It takes so long.
Too much to chat, but that's okay because you're right. When that snow is wet, ooh, that is a back break. You don't want to be dealing with that later. So take your time. That's good advice.
It's a reminder for me to get my totes out. Glenn, do you even remember what totes are?
Is that your covers your shoes, those deals?
Galoshes, yeah. I'm dating myself. It must sound old-fashioned, but believe it or not, they actually work. They're really, really nice, especially when the snow's coming down.
Well, they're standing the test of time and keeping your shoes nice and dry, so that's good.
Even my son picked up on the idea. He wears his gym shoes, his running shoes, with totes over them so that he can take them off when he goes to baseball practice. So something practical. Speaking of sports, FIFA World Cup semifinals yesterday, France shut out Morocco 2-0 to advance to their second straight World Cup final. Lots of celebrations at the Arc de Triomphe and the Champs-Élysées there in Paris. France is taking on Lionel Messi in Argentina on Sunday. France looking for back-to-back World Cup championships for the first time since Brazil did it with Pelé back in 1962.
You know, John, it was so popular yesterday when we had you do an imaginary call of someone scoring a goal in the World Cup. I'd love to hear that again. What would that sound like if you
No, you're not going to get me this time. I did it once yesterday. It is a lot. I love hearing especially the Spanish announcers. Those guys go crazy when they do the goal. And I'm not going to do it again.
Glenn, well, I guess if anyone wants to hear, says John's being, he won't do it again. You just go to the archives. At relevantradio.com. They are available. You can listen to John the Sportscaster at the top of the 7 o'clock hour yesterday. So it is available. So everyone can go check that out.
Thank you very much. My son actually heard it, thought it was very funny. Anyway, today is a re-gifting day, National Re-Gifting Day. What in the world is that?
Well, let me enlighten you, John. It is a day of giving gifts that you may have received, and they maybe weren't your favorite. Maybe you thought someone maybe didn't hit the mark. Here is an example of re-gifting from one of America's favorite shows in the 90s, Seinfeld.
How? Is that a label maker?
Yes, it is. I got it as a gift. It's a Label Baby Junior.
I just got one of those for Tim Watley for Christmas. Who sent you that one?
One Tim Watley?
He recycled this gift. He's a re-gifter.
You don't want to be labeled the regifter, so you need to be really careful when you are regifting gifts that you may have received. I don't know if it was really the best gift, and maybe someone else might enjoy this lovely bowling ball-shaped candle or whatever it may be that's very strange and odd, but I don't know how many people are giving or receiving label makers now, but I imagine maybe that year that could have been a good gag gift for everybody.
You could label those totes, you know, and then, John, you could differentiate between yours and your son's.
Oh. I know the difference between the two because his feet are way bigger, 13 and a half. So, yeah, you know what? Maybe a bottle of wine that one doesn't want, If you drink a red wine and you get a white wine, you can always give it away. So today is the day to do that.
I was wondering if the cousin of regifting is like the gift exchange where you get to steal gifts at the Christmas party. When Relevant Radio was a little smaller, that was a good tradition. And we had brave and bold employees that didn't mind swiping good gifts out from under the nose of the CEO even. And
That is a fun tradition. I know we have a Christmas party that we go to that is the tradition. We all get gifts. Sometimes people give a gag gift. Some people give a legitimate gift. And then there is the swapping. One year there was lottery tickets and everybody wanted that one. Can you never know if you're going to be the big winner or just holding an empty bag with that one. But it is a fun tradition. So something to do today, like you said, John.
Enjoy National Re-Gifting Day. As always, we begin in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. Through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 14:6. Jesus the Lord says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one name and only one way to be saved. Go to the Father and have Christmas. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only way to Christmas Day. This is what it's all about, Christ's Mass. Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's make room for Jesus in our hearts the rest of this Advent. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, this coming Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent. Can you believe it? Wow, it has really flown by. And that means that we're getting closer and closer to the end of the Advent season and to the beginning of the Christmas season. How can we make the most of the remainder of Advent with only 10 days left before Christmas? We hear all this Christmas music. We go to Christmas parties. Everyone's getting ready for Christmas. But how can we let Advent continue to be Advent and Christmas be Christmas? Joining us live is His Excellency Bishop Donald Hyang, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, to talk about making the most of the remainder of Advent. Your Excellency, Bishop Hyang, thanks so much for joining us. Always a blessing to be with you, and especially here in Advent.
Oh, good morning, Jen and Glenn. It's always great to be with you. Now, these are just absolutely beautiful days. Leading up to Christmas.
They really, really are. And, you know, I understand from my producer, Gabby, that Advent is your favorite liturgical season. Can you share some reasons?
It is. One notable reason would be the beauty of the scripture readings we have at Mass during Advent, because we have these remarkable prophecies from the Old Testament, you know, most especially Isaiah, you know, longing for the coming of the Messiah, you know, pleading with God to show his face, to rend the curtain of separation, to reveal himself. And we get the sense in the scriptures of the Old Testament that God isn't finished, you know, that he's still unfolding his plan of salvation, that there is more to come. And those beautiful prophecies of the Old Testament in the masses of Advent are placed side by side with Gospels, which show how Jesus is the fulfillment of all that expectation and desire. So as you were saying just a few moments ago, that Jesus is our Savior, he's our Redeemer, he's our Master and Teacher, you know, he's the Son of God, he's the Son of Mary, he's the fulfillment of everything that we desire as human beings. And you know, the Jewish prophets longed for that, only God answered their longings beyond their expectation. I mean, none of them would have expected God to come himself. And that's the wonder and the amazement of what we celebrate at Christmas.
Your Excellency, I'm totally with you. I absolutely love the readings from the Old Testament and the New Testament here during this Advent season to get us ready for Christmas. They're very beautiful, and many of them are prophecies. And I've always found it fascinating that there are so many prophecies, especially in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 300 to 400 prophecies, and there's only one person in all the history of humanity that fulfilled every single one of those prophecies, and that is the baby Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Something I've really been focused on is the title of the Blessed Mother is Ark of the Covenant. And I think many of our listeners would know that the Ark of the Covenant, you know, contained the Ten Commandments. You know, we've all seen Raiders of the Lost Ark. And the Ark was lost when the first temple was destroyed in the Babylonian invasion and never recovered. But if you read the book of Maccabees, it says in the book of Maccabees that Jeremiah hid the ark in a cave on Mount Nebo in order to protect it, and that its site would be discovered. It would be rediscovered at the time of the advent of the Messiah. So when you think about that in light of the Blessed Mother, you know, that Mary becomes the new ark, that just as the original ark contained the tablets, so Mary contains the most precious gift of the Father, which is the Son, the Word made flesh. And obviously, Mary's presence in the world triggers the advent of the Messiah. And it's another Old Testament prophecy fulfilled in Jesus, born of the Blessed Mother.
And it's a prophecy that we saw fulfilled just the other day on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Holy Mother Church chose that scripture passage from the Book of Revelation. Before she's described as the great sign that appeared in the sky, it says, God's temple in heaven was open and the Ark of His Covenant could be seen in the temple. So there it is, right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So it's Advent too is just a time of preparation, and I like that because we live in a culture that cannot stand to wait for anything. You know, if we have to wait on our computer for 2 seconds, we get impatient. On the highways, everybody's driving 90 miles an hour, you know, rushing to nowhere. And Advent really compels us to slow down, to realize God's plan is unfolding as it should, oftentimes not on our timetable, but really reminds us that, you know, we don't get everything we want as we think we want it, but God gives us what we need as we need it. And Advent is a great discipline of patience, of waiting, of preparing. And it's not instant Christmas. And I love that.
Another thing that's really wonderful this time of year are the O Antiphons, which begin in just a few days on December 17th. Can you talk to us a little bit about the significance of these O Antiphons and how they really can prepare us for the coming of the baby Jesus?
Yeah, the O Antiphons are just addresses to the Lord using different titles. So we call him O Wisdom, you know, Adonai, Lord, Root of Jesse, Key of David, Morning Star, King of the Nations, Emmanuel. And again, just as we were saying, most, if not all of those, come from the Old Testament. So it's really another beautiful liturgical expression, you know, connecting how the Jewish people saw God to the reality that in Jesus, all of their expectation regarding God is fulfilled. And also, it's a personal address to the Lord, you know, that we can speak to him in the liturgy. We can speak to him in prayer. You know, we call on him and on his power. So those O Antiphons are used in the days leading up to Christmas, you know, the late Advent weekdays, as we call them. And the late Advent weekdays also have, you know, beautiful gospels that pinpoint God's activity, you know, bringing about the conception and birth of John the Baptist, bringing about the conception of Jesus in the womb of the Blessed Mother and his birth, and the characters leading up to that, and the faith, the hope, the expectation, you know, all of that just leads us into Christmas.
And Excellency, a lot of people don't realize that some of the verses from very popular Advent songs like O Come, Emmanuel are directly from the O Antiphons.
Yeah, that's right. And if you go through all the verses of O Come, Emmanuel, it really reviews all of the Old Testament lead up to you know, the coming of Christ. When we think of, you know, Abraham, Moses, David, you know, the key leaders in Israel, each in their own way reveal some aspect of Jesus as the Christ, you know, as the Anointed One. So We never get over the wonder of the beauty that, you know, the universal, invisible, mysterious, all-powerful, transcendent God humbled himself to become one of his own creatures, you know, that he enters into his own creation. And then in the Eucharist, not only do we see God in a physical form, you know, we're privileged to receive God into our very being in a physical form. I mean, that's just something that would have blown Isaiah's mind, you know, that not only would we see God in a physical way, but that physicality would enter into us. So how blessed we are as Catholics to have the Eucharist, which is really the extension of the incarnation of the Lord in our midst.
Your Excellency, I understand that you've been blessed to be able to travel to Bethlehem. How has that experience affected how you prepare for Christmas?
Yeah, anybody that's been to the Holy Land knows it just makes the Bible come alive. You know, you're standing, you're praying, you're celebrating Mass in these remarkable places where the Lord was born, where he lived, you know, where he died on the cross, where he rose from the dead. And it reminds us of a very beautiful conviction regarding our faith. And Pope Benedict spoke and wrote eloquently about this, that our faith is not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a fantasy or a creation. That it's based in historical fact. You know, that in the person of Jesus, God steps into human history at a very particular place and a very particular point. You know, so going to the Holy Land really specifies in that radical particularity you know, the wonder of the Christ event. That in this one person living in one place at one time, you know, God acted definitively and absolutely. And being there just makes all of that come alive for you, that Christianity isn't this beautiful idea. It's a beautiful person, you know, Jesus.
Have you ever had the opportunity to celebrate Christmas Mass in the Holy Land?
No, I've never been there at Christmas. I've come close, but not on Christmas. When you're a priest or bishop, it's pretty hard not to be home on Christmas, right?
Absolutely.
That's where we should be, right, with our people.
Well, we've got 10 days to go. If you could share some final words of encouragement for our listeners as we prepare for Christmas.
Yeah, just to not rush into Christmas, you know, dwell on the scripture readings, go to Mass, go to adoration. If you haven't gone to confession yet, all of those are powerful ways to prepare and just to linger and savor these beautiful Advent days. And don't throw your Christmas tree out on December 26th.
Because of course.
We begin celebrating Christmas on the 25th. We don't end that day. It always saddens me when I see Christmas trees in the ditch on December 26th. It's like, we just got started. And you know, some people think we just ended. So I always say, let Advent be Advent so Christmas can be Christmas. But these days are beautiful. Take advantage of them in every spiritual way.
Well, Your Excellency, I so much appreciate you being with us this morning with some practical advice. Especially, I think, going to confession might be the one thing. If we can do nothing else, just get to confession if we want to have a really Merry Christmas.
Yeah, amen. What a beautiful way to let the Lord in and reign on the throne of our heart.
For sure. Can you give us your Advent blessing?
Heavenly Father, we ask that you pour forth your blessings upon your people as we wait in hope-filled expectation. Renew us in our faith, hope, and charity, and our love for the Lord Jesus, who is our Savior and our Redeemer. And we ask this blessing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Many blessings the rest of the way here in Advent, and have yourself a very Merry Christmas. Thanks again.
Yeah, Advent blessings, John. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, too. Bishop Donald Hang, the Bishop of the Diocese of Madison, Wisconsin, and we need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Peter Atkinson, the Director of the Merry Beggars on Relevant Radio, will join us this morning to talk about his latest productions, Christmas Live and A Christmas Carol, and much more. So stay with us. There's a lot to come here in the final half hour of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Be joyful this holiday season with Christmas Live from the Merry Beggars.
Doesn't that song remind you of murder?
I'm Mildred. Nero, come here quick.
She's dead.
Join the Merry Beggars for our first ever live radio variety show, Christmas Live.
I just wanted our first Christmas together to be special.
Hank, it is special.
Merry Christmas down there.
Christmas Live from the Merry Beggars.
And that was from the trailer from Christmas Live from the Merry Beggars here on Relevant Radio. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Thursday morning as we are counting down the days, only 10 more days until Christmas. In case you're not plugged in, the Merry Beggars is putting together absolutely outstanding radio entertainment for the entire family. You can enjoy your favorite segments of Christmas Live. The Merry Beggars is releasing a new video every single day from now until Christmas. This is something you absolutely do not want to miss. Joining us live in studio this morning is Peter Atkinson, the director of the Merry Beggars, the entertainment division of Relevant Radio, to talk about everything that is going on here this Advent season with the Merry Beggars. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, if you're a fan of the Merry Beggars, we'd love to hear from you. If you watched Christmas Live, if you've been a part of the Night Train or any of the outstanding productions, we'd love to hear from you. Our number, 888-914-9149. Good morning, Peter. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's great to see you live and in person in color here in our Lincolnshire Morning Air studio. Welcome aboard.
That's right. We're, for the very first time, we're in person together in studio. It's good. It's great to be on, John.
Oh, for sure. And perfect timing. Only 10 days left.
10 days.
Until Christmas. For sure. How exciting has it been for you recently? You guys got a lot going on with the Merry Beggars. First of all, for our new listeners that may not be plugged in and not be aware of all the great things that you guys are doing, can you kind of tell us about the Merry Beggars?
Yeah, absolutely. So we joined back in 2021. The Merry Beggars joined Relevant Radio, and we operate as the entertainment division of Relevant Radio, right? So Relevant Radio's mission is to bring Christ to the world through the media, and the media obviously is a very wide term. As Father Rocky likes to say, we're not going to start hospitals, but we are on social media, and we do talk shows. And part of the media is entertainment. You know, people consume entertainment hours every single day, and most of the voices in the culture are not exactly cheerleaders for the Catholic Church or for Christianity, generally speaking. And so what the Merry Beggars sort of exist to do is to heal a culture through entertainment that leads people towards Christ. And it has been very exciting over the past month or so. We've released more content than we've ever released before, so much so that people are like, oh, we'll have to listen to that in a few weeks and so on and so forth. So it's good. Things are picking up pace.
Well, let's begin with your most recent project. Just last month, the live recording of Christmas Live, right here, just around the corner here in our Lincolnshire studios. First of all, explain to us, what is Christmas Live?
Yeah, so when Father Rocky invited me, he invited me in 2021, very, very early, like March or so, to fly out to Chicago and sort of share with Relevant Radio my vision for what the Merry Beggars could be as part of Relevant Radio. And the thing that I pitched him was doing live entertainment in front of a live audience. Your audience probably remembers Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion and other live radio variety shows like that. And that was sort of what I wanted to bring to Relevant Radio. And Christmas Live was our first attempt at that. And by all accounts, according to what the audience says, it was very, very successful. We created this live Christmas show of comedy and drama and scripted original scripts. It was all original written material with musical performances from people like the Irving Sisters, this wonderful female trio, and Julian Hagen, who's a folk musician from Washington Island. And we got a whole boys choir in. And the crazy thing, John, we did not have one day of rehearsal. Everyone came in there and we were able to coordinate it. And the live show, the thing that the audience will see on the video at themerrybeggars.com, is literally the only performance, because we didn't have time to do rehearsals. So it was by the skin of our teeth and exciting the whole way down.
That is very impressive. No rehearsals. But we're talking about pros. You had some really professional actors, the people involved.
Yeah, no, so a huge shout out to the team inside of Relevant Radio. I sort of laid down the vision and said, this is the challenge to the team, but it was really a lot of the internal team at Relevant Radio. Lauren helped with sound engineering. Kevin was our sound designer. And they really manage the mics and everything, because you're dealing with a lot of different audio inputs. And then Michaela Fox, our producer, really coordinated the whole thing. And a lot of the way that it was able to come off was because of Michaela and my theater experience, you know, because you're coordinating around 40, 50 people, 20 of whom were teenage boys who are very prone to being distracted, into this sort of orchestra of a performance. And we were able to get, and that's one of the greatest things about being at Relevant Radio, is we're able to, through Relevant Radio's network and resources and through all the donors to Relevant Radio, we're able to get top talent. So we got really amazing actors from Chicago. We got the Northridge Prep Boys Choir.
My son goes to Northridge, so know them well.
Yeah, they represented their alma mater very well. And we were able to get musicians from around the country. And because of that, you know, my hope was we didn't want to do a Christmas show that people are like, oh, wow, isn't this nice? You know, Relevant Radio is doing sort of this sweet little Christmas show, and it's not very good, but, you know, it's on mission, and that we wanted to do something that obviously is on mission and leads people to Christ, but it's just so fun. And just so much fun that people keep talking about it. And that's been happening, which has been really great. The biggest thing, though, is something that none of the audience saw, which is the writers. So it's very hard to write original scripted anything. It's also even harder to write original scripted comedy. I was talking to Father Rocky about Christmas Live a couple of weeks before we did it, and he was like, all right, you know, comedy is high risk, high reward. And it's like, all right, you're right. But we were able to pull it off. And we spent, we had about, I think, 5 or 6 writers on it. We spent a lot of time developing these scripts, and a lot of the scripts didn't make it. You know, we were trying to find something that appealed to Relevant Radio's main audience, but then also would appeal to a secular audience as well. You know, comedy that would be funny regardless. And I that's the thing I'm most proud of with the production, is the writing worked. Everyone loved it. And that was a huge, huge accomplishment.
Well, it had to be a thrill to do it before a live studio audience. In fact, we have a member of the audience that day right here with us, our very own producer Sarah with her children, made an extra trip home and came back and brought the kids just to see your production.
Yeah, well, anytime I can have an activity for my kids that doesn't cost a lot of money, I'm on board for it. And they said, hey, come, it's free. And I said, hey, I'm there. But yeah, no, it was fun to kind of be in the audience. And it's different than when you go to a regular, like a play or a movie, because you're just, you know, there's a lot of acting. There's physical acting. And I think that was something that, like, my kids weren't really sure what was supposed to happen. But it's, you know, the actors are acting, but they're not moving around. They're kind of standing in places. They're doing a great job with their voices to make you feel like they're the character. And they are moving, but they're not really. And that was actually part of the exciting part, is you're hearing the sound effects and them reacting to it. And kind of if something didn't go exactly right, like, the audience probably wouldn't know, but the actors just kept going and the show kept going on. And it was great to see that. And it was very different for them, because that's not something that we get to see very often. So that was pretty cool. And some of it was the one in particular was very, very funny. Just the first, right off the bat, the Good Morning Jerusalem, a great way to start off the show. In fact, we have a very condensed version of that. So if you enjoy this condensed version clip, feel free to listen to the whole thing. This is just a small portion of it.
Shalom, salve, and what's up, Judea? Welcome back to another edition of Good Morning Jerusalem. I'm Larry Bartlett.
I'm here with 3 travelers from the East who call themselves Magi.
Yes, somewhere around here a virgin, she gave birth to a baby who's destined to be king. So, you know, we bring gifts.
Oh, that's so thoughtful. Young mothers always appreciate the help. Could I ask, what gift did you bring, sir?
Myrrh. Its bitter perfume breeds a life of gathering gloom.
Well, there you have it, Larry. Magi from the East. They may be wise, but don't let them pick out gifts for a baby shower.
We'll be back tomorrow with another thrilling news segment.
Yeah, that's definitely... These are the things that I think we all think. Like, why were the wise men bringing these gifts? This is not what they needed.
Yeah.
Very funny.
And that was one of the original sketch ideas that I came up with and pitched the writers, which is, what would happen if you had, you know, sort of a secular cable news show in 0 AD when Christ was born? What would happen if you had Don Lemon and MSNBC reporting on Christ? And they would miss the boat. So it worked out really lovely.
They probably would have done fake news.
Yeah, right. Well, that's the great thing. It's like, we have a 24/7 cable, you know, media cycle, whether or not there's news. And so what happens when you bring that voice and style to this? Well, we don't have a 24/7 news channel here, John. We have catechetics and apologetics, and so we keep it under tight.
Well, you guys are doing a fantastic job of bringing the entertainment part of Relevant Radio to our listeners, and you're bringing new segments every day. New segments are available.
Yeah. So the full show was about an hour and a half. People don't have an hour and a half to sit down and watch, you know, great art, and so we decided to divvy it up into segments. And so every day through now, between now and Christmas, We're releasing one video of on our YouTube channel and on the website, themarybakers.com/Christmas Live, of each of the different segments, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, things like that.
All right. Well, we have a lot to talk about here this morning. You guys have been doing such fantastic work. There's just not enough time, too much to talk about. I want to invite our listeners, if you've heard any of the Merry Beggars work, if you've heard A Christmas Carol or Christmas Live, we're taking your calls for Peter Atkinson, the director of the Merry Beggars. We'd love to hear from you. You can be part of our conversation here this morning at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're going to take a short time out as we continue our discussion with Peter Atkinson. Stay with us. There is more to come on the other side.
You, boy! Do you know where the performance is bound to be?
Performance? Do you mean the reading of Christmas?
Yes, that's the one. Where is it?
In the Victoria Theatre, sir.
Here is Mr. Charles John Hotham Dickens. I do hope his voice will carry. I didn't bring my ear trumpet.
Please, sit down. It is a greater pleasure for me to read for you than for you to listen to me read. And now, to begin.
Just a little taste for you from A Christmas Carol, one of the fantastic original works that's being done by the Merry Beggars as we continue our conversation with the director of the Merry Beggars here live in studio with us, Peter Atkinson. If you want to be part of our discussion here this morning, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Peter, A Christmas Carol is such a Christmas classic. It's really, you know, almost doesn't need an introduction. Can you talk a little bit about the making of A Christmas Carol by the Merry Beggars?
Yeah, so this is actually a family tradition that I grew up with. Every day in Advent, my family would read a small section of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, and we do this as a family every single Advent season. And so when we were creating the first production for the Merry Beggars, I thought, okay, what if we can do an audio Advent calendar of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? And so far, the audience seems to absolutely love it. We got to number 3 on the Apple Podcast Fiction charts, so right near the top, which is amazing. And we have hundreds of reviews on the podcast, and families are listening to it together. And that really is the greatest satisfaction with what we do, is to allow families to enjoy it together.
I mean, we're talking about a pretty substantial audience here.
Yeah.
So I had heard somewhere around 100,000.
I don't know what it is now, but I know it's gotten over 100,000 downloads every week, which is amazing.
How challenging was it to adapt this classic Christmas story written by Charles Dickens way back in 1843 to a modern day classic?
Well, the secret is we didn't adapt it to a modern day. We kept it right in 1843 to keep it nostalgic and to keep the beauty of Dickens' writing. But I really had help from a script writer called Buzz McLaughlin, and he and I came up with the concept of, instead of trying to adapt A Christmas Carol into just straight dialogue or pure action, we would keep Dickens as the narrator and bring the audience into one of Dickens' public readings of A Christmas Carol. And that way, part of, if you read Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, Great Expectations, whatever, part of the joy is Dickens' narrative skill in describing things, right? You'll have one line of dialogue and then three paragraphs of him describing like how the wife did a bow in her hair, right? And it's just this beautiful thing. And the way we kept that was Dickens remains as a narrator, and so we're able to follow Dickens in a public reading of A Christmas Carol in 1843.
Our relevant radio audience got a taste of it last Christmas season.
That's right.
It's got to be so uplifting and exciting for you to be plugged in once again with our audience and being able to share this with a lot of new listeners.
Absolutely. It's such a joy to see. With our other production On the Night Train, we had a review from someone that says every Sunday they and their children gather in the living room, turn off the lights, and listen to the show. And that to me is just, that's what it's all about. We were trying to create experiences that families can enjoy together.
Well, speaking of the night train, Gary is joining us this morning from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Gary. You're on with Peter Atkinson, the director of Merry Beggars.
Hi. I was calling to say that my family and I really enjoy, for instance, we listen to every episode of the on the night train and even the repeats when we listen to it on Saturdays. And we're doing the same thing with the Christmas Live. Listen to the repeat as well, and also the Christmas Carol just this past Sunday. We love it. I think it's a great way for the children to really, it sparks their imagination, so they have to really think about the scenes, and Charles Dickens was just an absolute gift. Just the way he describes things, just the use of words, the visions he creates, it's just fantastic for a family to listen to it and enjoy.
Gary, you are speaking my language. That's exactly what we're trying to do. That makes me so happy to know that you're listening. And I that's awesome. That just warms my heart. That's exactly what we're trying to do. And when we create these productions, we work really, really hard at them to make sure that we love them. And hopefully that love is contagious, it's awesome to hear.
Well, Gary, when you're talking about on the night train and doing it repetitively, you have to, because we got to find out who did it, right? And there's
That's right. On the night train,
it's by listening over and over and over to find out what are the little details, because it's always that little detail that you miss. So
on the night train returns January 8th. So we're gonna solve that mystery in the new year.
Gary, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Keep listening, Peter. People like Gary. Live listeners joining us this morning, sharing what the Merry Beggars and the great work that you guys are doing means to him and his family. How exciting is that for you?
It's so good. You know, I grew up in Washington, D.C. I grew up around nonprofits, around politics, around, you know, the professional class, and they're, you know, there's so much conversation about the culture is this, the culture is that. And there's a lot of complaining, and rightfully so, about the terrible things happening in our culture. And at some point, the answer can't be just more commentary. We have to actually step in and create the culture that we want. And so I think it's just the greatest blessing ever to be able to be at Relevant Radio and spend my days working to create that culture for my own family and for Gary's family and for all the families of the listeners. Because, you know, it takes time to build up that culture, and there is a hunger for it. And Christ, we are Christ's arms and feet on earth. And so we have to follow that work.
With all due respect to On the Night Train, we are 10 days away from Christmas, so I imagine the focus right now is a Christmas Carol and Christmas Live.
That's right. On the Night Train is going to return January 8th. Between now and then, we have Christmas Carol and we have Christmas Live, which we're so excited to see our audience enjoy. And then also on Sundays, the normal Merry Beggars slot, which is 6 p.m. Central on Sundays, we edited A Christmas Carol into 3 one-hour productions. So this coming Sunday, there'll be part two. The next Sunday, part three. And actually, on I think it's the 24th, the Sunday before Christmas, we're going to broadcast three of them in a row, part one, two, and three during the day. So the Relevant Radio live audience can listen there. And all the other audiences, they can go to themerrybeggars.com, and all of our shows are listed there.
This is a conundrum for our listeners. You got to choose which one of the Merry Beggars.
You can enjoy it twice, John. You can enjoy it twice.
Absolutely. Well, it is really a blessing. Your vision is becoming reality here with Relevant Radio. Final word.
Yeah, I would just ask the listeners to keep me and the Merry Beggars team in our prayers. You know, anytime you're doing something good, Satan likes to pop up with his head and try and meddle things up. So the more grace that I and the team and all the contractors and artists that we work with can send our way, keep it coming. Because we have a Saint series coming in 2023, but I'll have to come back on to talk about that.
Well, yeah, I was just about to ask you, what do you got coming up?
Well, for Lent 2023, we have a whole new series that I think the Relevant Radio audience is going to be really excited about. We're telling the stories of the greatest, most adventurous, courageous saints. But, you know, stay tuned.
Stay tuned. I love it. Faith and entertainment combined.
Absolutely.
Peter, I really appreciate you coming down here into our humble studios. It's great to see you in person.
It's great to be here, John.
For sure. Peter Atkinson, the director of the Merry Beggars, an apostolate of Relevant Radio, and I strongly recommend that you find out much more about them. You can also go to themerrybeggars.com. And now it is time once again for yet another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called A Different Mommy, from Pastor Ken Klaus. On a cold Chicago night, 4-year-old Barbara climbed onto her father's lap and asked, "Daddy, why isn't my mommy just like everybody else's mommy?" Bobby stole a glance across the shabby 2-room apartment. On the couch lay his wife Evelyn, racked with cancer. For 2 years, she'd been bedridden, and all Bob's income had gone to paying for her treatment. How do you explain cancer, poverty, and differences to a child? A copywriter for Montgomery Ward, Bob was deep in debt and depressed. Even so, that night, he held his daughter near. Then, before he began, Bob prayed, and he asked God to give him the words to answer his little girl's question. God gave Bob those words, and this is how they came. Once upon a time, there was a reindeer named Rudolph. The only reindeer in the world that had a big red nose. Naturally, people called him Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. As Bob went on, he tried to share with little Barbara the knowledge that even though some people and things are different, God has a purpose for them. Bob's story continued. Rudolph and his family were embarrassed by his condition, and others laughed at him. Even so, the time came when Rudolph was called upon to be the point reindeer for Santa's sleigh. And so it happened, Rudolph became the most famous and beloved of all the reindeer. When Bob was finished, his daughter laughed. Every night, Barbara asked for the story to be retold, and every night, the father repeated his tale of Rudolph. Eventually, Bob's wife passed away, and once again, Bob turned to God for help. Sitting at his desk in his lonely apartment, he worked on Rudolph. Through his tears, he worked at making the story into a poem and a Christmas gift for his daughter. Barbara so loved that story, and so did the folks at Montgomery Ward. In 1938, Bob was asked to an employee's Christmas party. He took his poem and read it, and the rest, as they say, is history. From 1 Peter 5:7, we're encouraged, "Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you."
As always, another fabulous Glenn's Story Corner. Go, Rudolph. Thanks again, Glenn. Really appreciate it. During this Advent season, let's remember Christ, the reason for the season, and our Blessed Mother by praying the Family Rosary across America with Father Rocky, 7 p.m. Central tonight and every night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And that'll do it for this Thursday edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, for producers Sarah Tafoya, Gabby Burke, our entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God bless America. We'll see you Friday on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.